welcome to this God-inspired message from Shofar Christian Church. We trust that you will enjoy today's message and that it will encourage you to grow deeper in your relationship with Christ our Savior.
Before I start with Paul and Barnabas, I just want to get back to fathers and Father's Day. And I just woke up this morning looking like this, just wanting to cry. And apart from really missing my dad today, who I couldn't see, unfortunately, I was just so, again, reminded of our Father in heaven and His love and His acceptance and His provision. And just as He came in worship to lavish that love, how did we today, and it's good to celebrate our dads, how did we today just say thank you, Father, for your love, for your life, for your acceptance? And almost through this whole day, and we went in Polokwane this morning driving through just a couple of hours back, and just doing all of that, I was just hoarding back my tears the whole time because I didn't want to engage with God through it because I knew I'm just going to cry in front of my wife and look like a baby and all of that. So I didn't want to do that. So I thought, like, I'm crying in front of all of you. I know, it doesn't make sense. But I was again today reminded of God, our Father in heaven, and what He's done. And, you know, sacrificing His one and only Son so that we can sit here, that we can have life, that we can know Him, and that every single thing, clothes on your back, whether it's 2 cents or 2 million in your wallet, it is all from Him, all because of His provision. Even the ability you had to make the money came from Him. And I want us to, just again, just think about God, especially these days, to honor God and to thank Him for that which He's done. And for that to truly be the center and the core of what we do. Because whether we are going on missions and speaking what Paul and Barnabas and doing all of that, if you miss God in it, you know, we are just missing everything. And that's why I just felt to share this right now. For it to be the foundation of the message tonight. But I pray that it will be the foundation of every message. It's the love of our Father. The acceptance of our Father. His blessing, His embrace. You know what? He's never turned His back on you, ever. We may have thought so or felt so. That's the furthest from the truth. So let's just keep that close to our hearts as we just dig into the Word. Because even though we speak about Paul and Barnabas, we're speaking about Christ and His love. So let's read together out of Acts 13 from verse 1 to 3. Now in the church that was at Antioch, there were certain prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul, also known as Paul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, "Now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." Then having fasted and prayed and laid hands on them, they sent them away. And we read that there are 5 guys there, but only 2 of them were called by God to leave where they are and go. And that's, if you haven't figured it out yet, that's not what we're going to talk about. It's going to preach the gospel, tying in with the Great Commission where Jesus said, "Go into all the earth, make disciples, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to observe all the things that I've taught you," right? So tying in with that tonight, we're going to spend time with Paul and Barnabas. And that's why it's great that we are sending the teams as well. Because this week and in 2 weeks, we are going to go. We're leaving this place to go. The same as Paul and Barnabas had to leave where they were in Antioch to go to a different place to go preach. So I want us to look at that element of us being used and sent by God to leave and to go. But also the other side of the coin as well. And as Philip said, it's so great. You know, we can't all go all the time, but we can pray all the time. But for those who can't go all the time, who are not called to specifically go away in that time, what are you called to then? Is it then just a place to sit and pray? Or what is it that God has for us in that time? Is it only relevant to those only going? Or what is God's expectation? So let's speak a bit about that tonight. And I hope that it will all become clear. I know that for most of us it is already. But I really want us to, again, be reminded of God's call for us to go and to preach. It's not just the team leaders or mine or Philip's, whoever's job to preach. It's all of your jobs, right? It's all of your jobs to, in a sense, be a pastor, because you need to look after those that God has entrusted to you, whether it's your friends or your small group or people you're leading to Christ. You are called to go and preach. And if that is I know it's a daunting idea, a daunting concept for some of us here tonight, because you're like, yes, how do I preach? And the only problem there is we have a specific mindset about how preaching looks like. This is not the only way. Not at all. It happens wherever. But let me not run ahead of myself and just work through this. Out of the five people, two were set apart, separated, Paul and Barnabas, and the Holy Spirit said, you must go. So they laid hands on them, prayed, fast, and then they went. So who's Paul? Just a short background, because I know that most of you know him by now. Paul was this guy hating the church, not only persecuting the church, but persecuting Jesus. And if he wasn't killing Christians, he was dragging them off to jail because he hated them, right? So now he was heading from Jerusalem to Damascus to go persecute some more Christians. Then on the road, he had a meeting with Jesus. And he was blinded because of the bright light of Jesus, and he was taken by hand to Damascus, where another disciple, Ananias, came, anointed him, got his sight back, and that is where God said, listen, you will go. And then immediately Paul started preaching the gospel. Crazy story. From killing to preaching the gospel of Christ. And he wrote most of the New Testament, and God used him really effectively in what we know today about what happened back then. So Paul, that's him in a nutshell, background. And then Barnabas. Barnabas was a Levite. His name is actually Joseph. Some translations say Joseph, but they called him Barnabas. And I just went to go look at the name meanings that he had. And the name meaning of Joseph is, may God increase. That's beautiful. And Joseph, he that pardons. But then Barnabas, and also the name that the disciples decided to call him on, means son of encouragement. So that must be his main attribute that he was known by, an encourager. I mean, you see the scripture is full of, just Jesus and the disciples and people encouraging one another, edifying, building them up. That is what Barnabas was known as. This great guy, son of encouragement, encouraging everyone in what they're doing, but ultimately for the goal to lead them to Christ. So we have Paul, which, and this is not, probably not doctrine or dogmatic, can't make it dogmatic, but my personal opinion is, and just take it as my personal opinion, Paul means small. So I actually think that Paul was a really small guy. So you've got this small guy just, going, planting churches, working for God, really having, just fervently doing what God is laying him to do. And then you've got Barnabas, the son of encouragement. A great combination that God has put together to go and to preach the gospel. So yes, they were saved when God called them. It's quite an important prerequisite, right? We must know Jesus in order for Jesus to send us. And Paul repented when he had his encounter. And then Jesus said, right, I'm going to use you. So even Barnabas was sent out. And I'm not going to go into too much detail about where they went and all that they do, but it's really great. And go read it. And they traveled from Cyprus to Cyrene in Greece, and Paul ended up in Rome in jail, and all of that things. So they traveled really, really far together. And for me, one of the great things that just almost immediately after they left, and in scriptures immediately, but they don't have airplanes or cars like we have today. But they went out and they came into this place where an important guy was sitting, and there was a sorcerer, and he was just trying to keep these people away from the truth about Jesus and the church. And Paul just shouted out, hey, you son of the devil. Just immediately rebuked him, and that guy lost his sight. He became blind. And just immediately rebuked him as he was just firmly going out. So they saw a lot of crazy and cool stuff in going out as God led them and having faith in it. God was doing great things and the word was spreading rapidly. But what happened is as they went out, and the reason I'm sharing this is that as romantic like going to Lesotho, Malawi, Nepal, or wherever it may sound, it's got its challenges. As I believe, as good it might have sounded for God to call these guys and say, listen, you need to go to all these places. You know, you've never been there, go there. Just preach my gospel. There's a sense of romance to it, or something that sounds nice, like a holiday, whatever. True. But there's its challenges. And as Paul and Barnabas went, and they especially liked to go into the synagogues to go and preach, the Jews didn't like them much, because what happened is the Gentiles, those on the non-Jews, started to get saved and started to believe them. So they really didn't become popular amongst some of the Jews. And they actually tried to kill them wherever they went. If they didn't go ahead of them, they came behind them to kill them where they were going and really just incite the people against them. So as good as it is to go, it's got its challenges. And that's something we need to know. If this is first news to you, go read Acts, because it's full of the church being persecuted. Even though Paul was taken out of the picture, he was still persecuted by mostly the church, you know, itself, by those who thought they knew God. So it's a really scary thing in that sense to go, because there will be challenges, there will be some rocky waters we need to travel across. And the Lord was working many, many miracles through the apostles and churches. Churches were planted through Paul and Barnabas. They appointed elders in every church so that when they left, you know, that things would go on, that there would be a sustainability, that disciples will be made and people following Christ and growing in the word and the knowledge of it. And I want to read two scriptures together with you out of Acts 14. And for me, reading this, it sums up Paul's journey for me quite beautifully, if you want to call it that. There's a lot to read about, but let's read this together out of Acts 14 from verse 1. And they were at Iconium. Now it happened in Iconium that they went together to the synagogue of the Jews. And so spoke that a great multitude, both of the Jews and the Greeks, believed. But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and poisoned their minds against the brethren. Therefore they stayed there a long time, speaking boldly in the Lord, who was bearing witness to the word of his grace, granting signs and wonders to be done by the hands. But the multitude of the city was divided, part sided with the Jews and part with the apostles. And while a violent attempt was made by both the Gentiles and Jews, with their rulers to abuse and stone them, they became aware of it and fled to Lystra and Derbe, cities of Iconia, and to the surrounding region. And they were spreading the gospel there. So one of the great things that, you know, apart from them fleeing, because they know they're going to get stoned, is they immediately saw that the gospel had an effect. And as I read scripture, that where the true gospel was shared, it always had an effect. It never sort of just did nothing. It either made people wanting to stone Jesus or them to follow him. Drastic difference, right? So for me, the gospel, it really either offends you or attracts you to Christ. And there are many elements and variables and stuff that we can bring in and how we make mistakes and all of that. But if we purely look at the gospel itself, it causes a division if you preach it to a group of people. So that is exactly what happened. They saw that this effect happened. But you know what? What were their response to that? They stayed a long time. They really tried their utmost best to win more of them and convince the others of them. Sometimes we have this thing of, oh, you know what? If I need to convince you about Jesus, you don't need him anyway, or you won't believe. But I read that Acts is full of Paul trying to convince people about Christ and using the scriptures and meeting them on their intellectual levels, whatever thing is holding them back to encounter Christ. They put their lives at risk to convince more of them, to get an opportunity again to preach to others of them. I know the idea would be for us to just go stand there, a dead person standing out of the death, and another three just rising out of the grave, and then get flesh on the bones, and you could just say Jesus did them, and they all got saved, right? ideal situation. Right? Okay, yeah. For me, that's awesome if that could happen. But sometimes it's not that easy. You need, there's a convincing, there's a struggling. Because we all know people, right? A lot of us, we are hard-headed, especially guys, right? We are hard-headed. Our way is the right way, and if it's not my way, then you take the highway and all of those things we say. But I believe that we just remain the same since back then. We are hard of hearing, hard of understanding, and don't really want to change the way we've been believing because our parents were doing it that way, or the church was doing this way, whatever argument we have, we don't like change. So that's where this division happened, but their response was to stay a long time until they literally had to dodge the stones. The next portion of scripture is sort of Acts 14, but from verse 19, then Jews from Antioch and Iconium came then. And what happened? They fled and went to other cities. And it wasn't like, okay, we're safe, that's over. Those Jews that wanted to kill them followed them. And that's what we are speaking about here. It said, came there, and having persuaded the multitudes, they stoned Paul and dragged him out of the city, supposing him to be dead. However, when the disciples gathered around him, he rose up and went into the city, and the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. So they were going on preaching, sharing, boarding churches, getting people saved. And all these people really just, where the division happened, followed them and went and hit them, inciting more people. So eventually they got Paul, cornered him, stoned him, and then rolled him out of the city. Crazy. So Paul was alive after that storm because of the disciples' gathering, and then took him. And you know what? If you go and read further there, it says that Paul stopped preaching the gospel. No. Exactly. He got stoned. I don't know how recent any of us got stoned. So I can't really speak out of experience here. And not really putting it lightly. This is hectic. It's the same as the church being persecuted, shot and crucified. Whatever's going out, what's going on around us out there. And it's a lot more than what we just see on CNN, because they just want you to see what you need to see. And so it's still happening. It's not making it lightly. But who of us has recently gone through this, got up, and then continued to preach? You know, Paul, he had a type of a fire inside of him that couldn't be taken out. You know? He had a life in him that the earth, that death, you know, couldn't take out of him. He had such a love for Christ and for his kingdom to come, that even, you know, being stoned and being, he's been whipped so many times and imprisoned many times, and they've been going through some difficult times, but he never ever gave up. But go read about it, and you would just see him not relenting, not giving up. And these two just portions we read together, it sums up Paul's walk for me beautifully. He went to a lot of places, people loved him, people hated him, those who hated him wanted to kill him. Then he moved on, and then eventually they would get it right, and then he would get up again, and then move on again, and then get imprisoned, and then get whipped, and then get imprisoned, and then get whipped, and do this. But he never stopped. I believe I can clearly remember the day I got saved, if you want to call it that. The first day I really had an encounter with the Holy Spirit. Okay, the first time I went to church, I found a small group of people praying in their tongues. Okay, yes, I ran out. I thought it was demonic. But I was back the next week. But if they had to preach there and say, listen, you need to get saved today because we want you to get stoned next week and then get whipped and then get imprisoned. And then 2 months from there to go through all of that again, I would not have gotten saved. But this is not specifically something that God holds in front of all of us. But the question is, if he would have held it in front of all of us, would we still have said, yes, Jesus, I would love to follow you. I would love to board your church. I would love to stand when everyone is against me, to know that you are for me. And know that, don't get me wrong, don't hear that I'm saying you need to be stoned to be a Christian. It's not what I'm saying. But if that were the case, would we still be Christians? Come back to the Jesus question about him coming. If we knew that someone had to come into this hall tonight with guns and to shoot all of us dead, would we have come to church? Or would we have stayed away? And for them, they never really knew. They were always on the edge of something that could really happen to not put them in an uncomfortable place, but to lose their lives. But they never relented, never gave up, preached with a confidence, a boldness, a fearlessness. So they didn't just go being obedient to the call, but they really gave it their all. And I know that a lot of us have went. Some of us going now is for the first time, and there will be many more to come. We should go with that very, very same heart that Paul and Barnabas went with. Without holding back. To share the gospel. To know, you know, if I talk about Jesus here, there's going to be chaos. Speak about Jesus. Because that might be the only chance that that crowd of people might get to hear about him. So going, as Paul and Barnabas went, to plant churches. If it weren't for them, I'm sure God would probably get someone else to use, but it's because of these guys' work and obedience that the church exists today. Because of their planting, because of their spreading. If no one went after Jesus died, nothing would have happened. If everyone just said, okay, this is great, Jesus, you got up, but let's just not do anything about it, we wouldn't be here today. So what we do as Christians, what you do as you go to the mission field, that has not only direct effects to communities and lives, but it has an eternal effect to where we go. But I want you guys to go read up about it. And Philip always prompts us to read Acts once every week. If you haven't started doing it, do it. Acts is not so long, and it's really great to read it again. And I don't know who said, I think it is Todd White. I'm sure most of you know him. He loves a book. I don't know. Let's just say, for argument's sake, it's Galatians. And he's read it like so many times, over and over and over. And then someone asks him, but why do you read it so many times? And he says, well, I can't recite the whole book up to you, so that's why I read it, because I don't know all of it. He believes if he knows everything off by heart, knows every detail, then he's read it enough. I only know a couple of verses, and John 3:16 is one of them that I can just recite like that. So there's a role of repentance for me there. So read Acts over and over and over and over and over again to meditate on the word and to get to know it. Because I was amazed just the other day that Scripture is alive, church. When we read it with the Holy Spirit, we read things that we've never read before. So it's amazing. I want to encourage you to do it. Share the gospel without fear or what it might do or cause in a situation. And John came to me during worship, sharing a word, and just so confirmed with me that we just felt that tying in with the broken heart, there are some things that hold us back in sharing. That's fear. What is holding us back to share and to preach the gospel to those around us? To whether it's going to cause a complete chaos right now to still do it, because we are called to preach where we go. And I want to move into the other side of the spectrum. Not one being right and the other one wrong, but they all work in unison. And some are called for a season and then to come back to go geographically to a different location for a specific purpose, a specific mission. Others were left behind. I'm sure those left behind at Antioch and in Jerusalem, they didn't just sit there. No, they were building up the church, raising up leaders, making disciples, keeping things running, supporting those in the mission field. But more than all of that, they continued preaching where they were left behind. Acts 4 from verse 12 says, nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled and they realized that they have been with Jesus. the way we preach, and the boldness and the confidence, will it make people just like, that guy's been with Jesus? Saying like, knowing our past, knowing where we've come from, being amazed, saying, how does this guy have this ability to do what he's doing? And it should only be by being with Jesus. And for now, just the tension to be on the boldness they had, the fearlessness. And if you sit here and you're like, yes, Lord, please don't ever send me to go to Nepal. Because I just don't know how to do it. I'm too afraid, Lord, to go. Tonight, God is going to take that away. He's going to take the fear away, and he's going to make you say, God, just send me, Lord, wherever, whenever. And it's really something that God has to do and lay into our hearts. You know what? It's not something that happens after fasting for 4 months and 3 years or getting 20 people to pray with you about it. But it's really something that God has clearly said already in Scripture, and for you just to know and to walk in the freedom that he promises is it for us, a security in his name. And to put it bluntly, there's no fear in God's love. So we must just say, God, I really want to understand your love, because then there will be no fear in us going. So the other side are, to use really great examples, we are going, some of you are not. Those staying behind. What is God's purpose, God's call for that? Apart from, you know, looking at the state to pray for us and praying for us. What is God's heart for you? And I want to read for us out of Scripture, and it's out of Matthew 10. And it says, and as you go, preach, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. As you go. I think sometimes we only understand the Great Commission that we need to leave here, go there, and then start preaching. But the word actually means as you go. So whether we are going to Nepal or not, whether you are joining us or not, God is calling you to, as you go, preach, saying the kingdom of God, kingdom of heaven is at hand. Say that Jesus is coming. Say who he is. So that's when you are still at home, to as you go to university, as you're going to go home now for the holidays, as you go to the office, as you go to the gas station, as you go wherever, to preach as the Holy Spirit leads you and guides you and empowers you. It's not just to get into a comfortable place and say, God, I'm really going to pray for this team in Nepal so that your kingdom may come there and that they may preach and that they may share the gospel and that they may see salvation, that they may see signs and wonders. Great prayers to pray. But then you need to depart from there and say, God, I want to see it here too in my life. So today, God, as I go, speak to me, lead me, guide me. Give me that one person today. It's really simple. If we all start by saying, God, give me one person, let's make it a week. One person a week, God, for them to come to salvation, for them to experience you, for them to know that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It's here. Experience the healing, the salvation, the acceptance. The church will be growing like we've never seen before if we start to bring all of those people in, right? As we go, church. So tonight, more than being for us being prayed for to go, it's actually about you staying behind. And the next teams, if you're not going, you're staying behind. Where are we preaching? Where are we going? And what are we doing to see God's kingdom come here? And tonight, the challenge I want to hold before all of us and myself, say, God, give me one person, just one, a week. Give me one divine appointment a week with this guy. Get saved. Come to salvation. And then what you need to do is to pray and fast, whether you know who it is already or not, but to start engaging. I believe you should never talk to someone about God if you haven't spoken to God about the person first. Very important thing. Just as we go to mission fields, if you guys don't pray for us and pray for what we're doing, there's very little power in that. Because evangelism and prayer goes hand in hand. So pray the prayer. Say, God, give me one person a week, and then already start praying for that one person. Say, God, I bring this unknown dude to you, and start declaring promises, salvation, healing, sight. you know what, God will make those things come to pass. It's not like he's going to be like, nah, you know what, I don't feel like helping you this week. No. He's waiting for us to stand up, to start engaging, for us to really want him to share his love the way we experience it. And as we were praying before church started for a whole hour, and I want to encourage you, if you have Sunday afternoons open, come join us. Because it's so great to hear God's heart just before the service starts. And yes, it is okay to pray before church starts, you know. The more you pray, the better it is. But in that time, it was just this picture shared. And let's imagine you are, just imagine you are observing this, or you are a father or a parent coming home after hard days of work. And here you park your car and you just sort of see no one. Doesn't look like anyone's at home. Walk into the house, it's sort of dark, uninviting. And yell your 2 or 3 or 20 children just lying in front of the TV. Just saying, oh, hey, Dad, you know, just shh, you're watching here. You looking for your wife, wanting to know what's going on at home. Catch my breath. I believe the sad thing is that God sometimes feels like that when he comes to us. Sort of just acknowledge him. We come to church, just sit back, acknowledge what's going on. How should that father feel in that situation? I know that we cannot take away from who God is and what he feels and what he sees. But how would that earthly father feel in that situation? Versus coming home, kid running out, Daddy, being excited to see him, his wife being there, ready to engage with him. And yes, it takes a lot more effort from the family side. But has anyone ever said that being a Christian is no effort? That guy's a son of the devil. It is effort. Jesus said, pick up your cross and follow me. It takes effort. It takes commitment for you to live and engage in that love. Because just as communication, love is a two-way thing. I can't expect my wife just to love me and I don't give her any love back. But that is what we expect of Christ. And I know that if we really live in that thing of really just saying, God, you know, this church gatherings, it's like being at home, right? Coming to God's house. How are we acknowledging our Father? Have we become so used to him that we don't want to get up in front of the TV? Or do we just, you know, switch the TV off and engage with our Father? That's the priority. His home. You're actually in his house. He pays for all of it. You're there. It's his. How do we engage with Christ? And that just, the prayer hit me so hard. And to come back right in the beginning with all of this. Do we know the love of God? Have we grown cold towards it? Because, you know, going to places away, preaching here, if all of that is at a place without love, what does Scripture say? If we have all of these, we do not have love, we have nothing. If we don't have that love for our Father, don't bother going. Because you have nothing. So where's our love? And you know what? God's invitation tonight, he doesn't want to kick the TV away. He doesn't want to take away the thing. He wants you to just say, Lord, here I am. I want to see you. I want to know you, Lord. And yes, God, I want to go. I do not understand all of these things. I do not understand what needs to happen, God. But because of this love we have, I have the confidence, the boldness, the fearlessness to go. As Paul and Barnabas. As all the rest that went out. So all of those that were just stoned and martyred and killed for their faith. Because they understood this love from God, this acceptance from him at the core, at the center of it all, doesn't mean we need to be perfect. And, you know, we can just see Paul and Barnabas themselves. You know what happened? They had a massive fight. Massive. The Bible said no small, I think, dispute or something. No small fight, right? So it was big. So that they didn't, when they left again to go into the mission field, they didn't go together. Paul took Silas and Barnabas took John Mark with him, and then they went. I personally love this because, you know, twice as fast the gospel spreading. That's amazing. But it means that things were real. They were fighting. They were having some issues here and there. Things were real. The scripture isn't hoarding before us. You know, the apostles were perfect. You need to be perfect. Not only Jesus was. They struggled. They failed. They were disobedient. But they understood that love, but didn't give that at cost for anything else. That they didn't, because of the fight, decided not to go. And I want to remind us tonight, church, whatever's happened, whatever is keeping us back from going or going again, where there's been a fight with the church or fight with someone or fight with a leader or whatever it is, we need to get over that and start focusing on Christ again, because that's what all of this is about. We are going to Nepal, Malawi, Lesotho to spread Jesus. You are staying here to spread Jesus wherever you are. So the question is, where are you going? We know that you're not now joining us on the teams. Where are you going tomorrow, Tuesday, Wednesday? And it's very easy to get into a routine, into the motion of things. And I believe that's a very dangerous thing, because then we start just living by the calendar and on our own power and our own momentum. But we need to be driven by the Holy Spirit. And what Jesus said, you know, the Christians are like the way, they're like the wind. You feel it. You don't see where it's coming from or where it's going. We should be like crazy like that. We should be coming and going. People should feel us, but not actually knowing like where we stay or where we go or where we're from. As the Holy Spirit guides us and leads us to preach. The question in our church, where are you going? And band, can you come to the front, please? And I want us all to just stand. And as the band comes to the front, to close our eyes and ask yourself that question. Where am I going?
Speak, you give power to the weak, you raise dead men to their feet, you are strong, Lord.
Thank you for listening to this message from Shofar Christian Church. We believe that it was time well spent establishing God's kingdom and proclaiming His glory in your life. For more information, call us on 012-362-1363 or email us at pretoria@shofaronline.org. You may also wish to browse our website at www.shofaronline.org or find us on facebook.com/shofarpretoria.